Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Today, I'm talking to Jessica Kane. She is the author of some children books. I apologize. This episode, the audio is not good. We do have a lag issue, but worse, my audio gets dropped out and I don't know why. I don't have it to recover and I apologize, though I do wanted to have her story out there. I wanted to get what she had to say known. So please give it a chance, deal with the issues, and I apologize. But Jessica is here to talk about her stories and her writing. Here's Jessica.
Jessica, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. It's taken a little bit of time for us to find a good time. And to explain that to everybody, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and your background?
Sure. So my name is Jessica Laurel Kane, and I'm an illustrator and a writer, and I do a bunch of different kinds of stuff. But for the sake of our talk today, I'll tell you about my children's stories. I have four books for children, and I think my reason for writing books for children is to try to make the things that might be confusing to kids, whether it's talking about big feelings or difficult situations, I find that I'm really interested in trying to translate that into easy to understand language with a little bit of something to smile about, maybe laugh about. So that's probably the theme of my books.
And you have, how many kids do you have? Just the one?
Just one. I have one child. He's 8. Yes, and we started telling stories.
Go ahead, please finish.
Sorry, there's a little bit of a lag, so I'll wait before I talk a minute.
I'll try not to interrupt.
That's okay. You can interrupt. I started writing them probably when I was pregnant. I started having children's book ideas come to me, and before that, I wrote stuff for adults. So the first book I wrote was a collection of fairy tales that I made up about a bunch of different sorts of things, about a bird who swallowed a cell phone and he began to upset all the neighbors because his chirp from the cell phone meant something extremely offensive, and all the neighborhood birds were thinking he was being really rude when really he couldn't help it. So I guess a lot of my stories are about misunderstandings and trying to bridge understandings between characters. So that first book I wrote before my son was born. And then once he was born and I started realizing all the interesting ways that a person gets created, every single experience is kind of like a new circuit is being wired. And so I started realizing the importance of storytelling. If there was an upset at school, we always use stories to understand what happened. We always played the different characters and made the story even more dramatic than it was, trying different ways to perceive what had happened in a more empowering way. And then that became my next book, which is a collection of very, very short stories for small children called Feed It to the Worms. And Feed It to the Worms is something we came up with, my son and I. When you've got really difficult feelings and you don't know what to do with them, we toss them down to the worms and it tastes just like pizza. Of course, people on Amazon kept thinking that it was about composting and getting confused when they got the book. Well, I've always written stories. I've been a writer my whole life, but I switched to children's stories when I was pregnant. No, I have another book of stories, but for adults, called Straining to Parallel Park in an Empty Field. It's a collection of true stories, little stories. I've written plays, and one of them I have an audio book of called Two Sizes Too Small, about a man who woke up in the morning and found that all of his shoes had shrunk two sizes, and the drama comes, you know, continues from there. And I have some records of songs, and I like both. It's interesting because we have such rules for children's writing. Well, I don't, but you know, society in general has rules. Parents are uncomfortable talking about things with children, like death or parents fighting. Things that adults are uncomfortable about, they transfer that to the children, when really the children are fine with talking about anything. It might be difficult, but they, in my experience, they want to know the truth. They want to talk about things. And they love cursing language, too. They'd probably be the biggest fan of things with off-color language. But, of course, that's the main difference between writing for adults. You can use colorful, as they say, language and talk about different subjects. But I try to translate some of that stuff to children's stories to make it, you know, palatable, of course, but to talk about the things that are uncomfortable in a way that helps children digest things instead of just push them under the rug. Well, I've always been an associative creator. You know, I just kind of free associate and improv and stuff like that. But definitely being a mother has changed everything in terms of the necessity to bridge understandings. I mean, I'm responsible in some ways for someone's developing consciousness. So I felt the responsibility as a mother, a human being, and then that has translated into how I connect with my son, which is in huge part storytelling. And then I always am a sharer. So if a story is making an impact with my son and myself, then it's just a natural next step for me to put it in a shareable format. So books, audiobooks, etc. I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback, and then so I've gotten, you know, the whole gamut. There's been people who think that my books are a little strange. You know, because I don't really have a specific target audience. I have my allegiances to creativity itself. So if I have an inspiration, I just write it. And if that means that it isn't appealing to the most number of people, then that's okay, because my whole purpose of being an artist is to share the inspiration. And then there's others, I feel like people who may be more aligned with my perspective in life, I think they appreciate that I've been true to that perspective and not try to redigest it into something that's more marketable. So, but I have a book called, I have a book called A Book of Hearts, and it's a book about, you know, for adults and children, really, but it's about the different kinds of personalities or ways of being or behavior you may find, and it ends with an understanding heart. And I've had some people be angry because they wanted me to just dismiss the hearts that are more difficult and just somehow end the book with, you don't have to be around those kinds of hearts. But that's never been my philosophy. I mean, I think all human beings are pretty corrupt in some continuum. So I felt like my goal was to inspire understanding, because I feel like when people are understood, they are less corrupt and also more likable. Well, marketing has never been my strong suit. So I've learned that you really do have to market, and not only market word of mouth, but you have to put in the time and the money to get your project into the public. And that's always been challenging for me, because I am really an artist more than a marketer. So I am constantly starting new projects, and before I can fully market the last one, because I get excited about the next thing. I've had some nice things, like Kirkus Reviews really liked my last book, The Girl Who Was Born with Glue in Her Brain. So I got some publicity because of the nice review I got from them. So that was nice. But, you know, when I spend the time getting the word out, it really does work. But I have a child, and I homeschool my child, and I'm working on so many other projects, you know, one after the other. So it's difficult to find the time to talk about books that I'm kind of already bored with. I'm excited for the next one. Yeah. Well, I just finished a memoir about my mother, so that's an adult book, and I've been working on that for a very long time. So it's a series of two books. So I just finished the first one. And hold on 1 second. My son has just come here. What happened? Oh, it's Jan.
No, it isn't.
It isn't?
It isn't.
Come here, honey. Oh. I wonder what that is. No, 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 no. That's not at all what it looks like. Okay, go relax. It's okay. It looks like something just touched you funny. Sorry, my son just has a rash that we didn't see before. No, it's not a rash. It's like a mark. Yeah. So it's okay, hon. Yeah. I don't have any consistent schedule. I would say I go through spurts where I get very into my work and I do my work a lot. And then sometimes my son will do other projects. Sometimes he'll do art. Sometimes he'll do video games or watch movies or play with his dad when I'm doing my work. And then other times I don't do my work at all and just, you know, do stuff with my son. And so it's not like we have a schedule. It just kind of depends on my energy level, his energy level, and what we've got going on. Well, it's what's real. And I find that with a child, and I feel like the more I push through and the more endurance I have to be there when I might not have the energy, it somehow makes my mind stronger in terms of what ideas I'm coming up with for the material anyway. So I feel like everything is progressing, maybe not at the same time, but all zigzagging in the direction of more endurance, more understanding, more perspective. So it's interesting. Well, he knows them probably by heart. He's sitting right here. What do you think of my stories? You don't remember them anymore? No. Well, I've been working on the adult stuff since quarantine began. Yeah, we haven't. So he used to know them all by heart when we used to record them and things like that. But now he hasn't heard the adult stuff, obviously. We'll have to wait for when he's a grown-up for that, the stuff about Gromir. So, oh, he just told me he's been reading the adult stuff. Thank you for that. I used to be such a paper person, but that was so long ago. Now, whenever I have an idea, I just rush to the nearest device to write it down. Sometimes it's just an email to myself, and then I'll just edit the email right in my email software, and then eventually transfer it to Microsoft Word and then edit on there. That's how most of the children's stuff works. And the adult stuff is edited for years, so that stuff starts and finishes on Microsoft Word. Although I'm a note taker, so if I'm driving in the car, I'll do an audio note on my phone and then copy and paste that and string things together. Well, right now I have two kids' books and actually, I have four kids' books in progress and just finished the memoir about my mother. And then I'm editing the next book because it's a two-book series about my mother. And then I don't know, I've always had this strange idea of eventually, you know, down the road doing something more like being a speech writer. Something like that, maybe like for politics or something like that, or maybe doing some sort of speaking. I don't know. I like to try different things, and I have this funny interest in that. Well, I started documenting my life in journals when I was around 11. And so I have kind of an interesting series of journals that takes me through childhood and into adulthood. And it's been very interesting to see what reality has been through each of my selves I've been. So I knew it was always something I wanted to do, but because I had so many notes and so many transcriptions of things that had happened and dialogues and all that. It was very Herculean in terms of how to edit it all together. And I think once I had a child and once my mother passed tragically 4 years ago, suddenly my perspective became stronger and more clear and more simple. And I started to figure out a way to tie things in, and the purpose of writing the book became more clear, to show how people form, how a personality develops, how dysfunction can create perspectives that are unhealthy, that seem real, and how they kind of roll through the years. And then it's a certain point how we have a choice to go back and retell those stories from a more empowering perspective. So that's what's become my memoir. And the first one is kind of the formative years till almost 18. And then the next one's more about into adulthood. My mother was a very incredible character with a lot of tragedy and comedy. So I tried to share what it was like growing up with her. Just conceptually, just in terms of the importance of finding a place to stand for oneself, deliberately discovering what it is that a person wants to stand for, regardless of who everyone else around the person thinks they should stand for. And really kind of finding a place to see all the problems in life through that stand. So I think that the adult material and the children's material is all about empowerment, turning situations into art because it makes them more interesting and more mythological and helps have a larger perspective to have compassion for oneself and for everyone else we meet or find out about. Yeah, well, I feel like my main parts of my personality are probably really heavy and really silly at the same time. So I like to talk about heavy stuff in the context of making myself and others laugh, because laughter is my favorite thing to digest heaviness with. Yes, absolutely. I think that I would say the most important thing is not to underestimate what inspires you. If you have a moment of some insight that lights you up, that means that that's important to share and document. And once you get enough of those, you can string them together, find meaning, and inspire yourself. You surprise yourself with what you can come up with. I find that if you don't write it down right in the burst of inspiration, that you can forget it. And then the inspiration is gone before it even got to live. So, no, that doesn't go in there, sweetie. That is the most important advice I would say. And then in those moments, you try to push, just like any birth, you know, when I was pregnant with my son and I was having a labor where my son was positioned on his side and it was really painful, I wanted to just go home. I said to the doctor, I said, I'm just going to go home and I'll come back in a couple of days and we can deal with this. And that's the same thing with creativity in some ways. You know, we have this idea and then it's like, whoever wants to do anything, never expect that you're going to want to follow through and push something out. So more often than not, you've got to sit at the table and you've got to just write. You've got to flesh out those bursts of inspiration. That doesn't go in there. over there. So the more you can write down those bursts of information, those are little pushes for you. And the more little pushes you get, the more you're helping your future self. You'll have a bunch of stuff to work with in the delivery room. My first book is The Butterfly Who Was Afraid to Fly and Other Stories, and then Feed It to the Worms, a collection of very short stories for small children, A Book of Hearts, and The Girl Who Was Born with Glue in Her Brain. Oh, thank you. My website for children is jessicalaurelkane.com, JessicaLaurelKane.com. And then my adult website is jessicakane.com. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you for being so patient with me, finding a time to get together.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.